Hi, we're the Casey Middle School students. The internet is a great way to stay in touch, but it can also lead to problems.
I started getting a text from a friend's phone, and it basically was saying, no one likes you, no one believes you. Some of these kids who were at the school with me, I'd known since kindergarten. And that morning, they're all in a circle, and all looking at me, and all whispering, and all huddled around someone's phone, and I'm like, wow.
Tune in to KGNU Wednesday for a call-in show about middle school and the internet, the benefits and the dangers. That's Wednesday morning at 8:35.
That's the topic of today's show, Middle School and the Internet. I'm your host, Shelley Schlender, and today we'll look at the Internet, what's good about it, and what can be dangerous about it. We'll focus especially on two issues. Bullies that say mean things online to another person, that's called cyberbullying, and people who try to contact others on the Internet in a way that makes the person being contacted feel unsafe. That's called cyberstalking. These are issues that have special importance when people are beginning to use the social media available on the Internet. So to help us with our discussion, we have a panel of experts. They're student journalists from Casey Middle School. Can you each introduce yourselves? And about the Internet, can you each say something that you like the best about the Internet? And also what the potential danger is that you've been investigating? Let's start with Audrey.
My name is Audrey, and the reason I like the Internet is for YouTube. As for the dangers, I'm especially interested in cyberstalking. That's when someone keeps trying to friend you or contact you on Facebook in a way that makes you feel uneasy. That's what happened to me, and he was a stranger, and he was pushing to meet me in person, which I've since learned is a big red flag about cyberstalking.
Well, thank you for that explanation, Audrey, of what your interests are about the Internet. Now, how about you, Haley?
My name's Haley. The reason I like the Internet is it makes it easy to communicate with people. For our investigation about the risks, I've been looking into cyberbullying. That's when people go out of their way to say mean or hurtful things about someone on the Internet, and especially when it's a group of people doing it, and they do it a lot. I'm interested in this because last year I was cyberbullied.
I'm Ella, and I'm not a big fan of the Internet. As some teens, my favorite thing about the Internet is how easy information is. And for our investigation about the Internet, I interviewed people about cyberbullying.
I'm Bella, and one benefit of the Internet that no one has mentioned yet is Facebook. You can get in contact with people that you may not have contact with otherwise. As for my favorite reason the Internet is, it would probably be for YouTube, like Audrey. For our journalism investigation, I've been talking with our principal, Miss Boggs, about cyberbullying and what to do when it happens. We'll share what she said with us during the show.
Well, and also with us we have Carla Friedley, the school psychologist. You want to tell us some about what you've been doing?
Yes, I've been working with this amazing group of young journalists on the story of cyberbullying and cyberstalking. And we have learned a lot, and I look forward to sharing it. And one of the things I appreciate about the Internet is, as an educator, the easy access to information. Also, as we can see, many people have a big group of friends in their social media contacts, like Facebook. That's something that many people who didn't have friends in the past were able to achieve, and I think it makes things feel more satisfying as a young person with a big group of social media friends.
All right, so you have some things that you think of as benefits of the Internet, but you've also talked with these teens about some of the problems, too. And as a reminder, this is a call-in show, so for questions or comments, the number to call is 303-442-4242. Today we're talking about middle school students and the Internet with a special focus on cyberstalking and cyberbullying. We'll talk about cyberstalking until about 8:50. Then we'll go to cyberbullying. And then, just for our listeners to know, for the last 20 minutes of the show, we'll widen the topics to anything about the Internet. Well, let's start by sharing a story about cyberstalking, which you may have heard on Monday morning here at KGNU. It happened to Audrey. And Audrey, in a way, your story begins 5 years ago when you did something that's actually pretty common these days. Do you want to explain that?
Yeah, 5 years ago, I signed up for Facebook way before I was 13, which is the legal age to sign up. An older friend helped me sign up, and she also told me to lie about my age. I was 9 years old at the time, and she put my age down as 20.
So at the age of 9, you had your own Facebook page that listed you as 20.
Yeah, my mom told me not to use it until I was 10, and I started going on at 11 because all my friends had a Facebook page. We didn't know how to change my age back to my real age, so when I was 11, it showed my age was actually 22.
And then you started getting a friend request from a stranger named Pascal. Now, as long as you don't respond to a friend request, just so that people understand how Facebook works, if you don't respond to a friend request, that person can't see the details about who you are. Is that right?
Well, it depends on the settings. If you have a setting that says that only your friends can see your profile, then they cannot see it. But if that setting's not on, they can see everything.
At 9 years old, at 10 years old, did you know how to make that setting work that way?
No, I changed it, though, so now it works.
Now it works, but at the time that Pascal found you and asked to friend you, were you kind of open to the world about what your settings were?
Yeah, but at 9, there wasn't much people could go off of.
Well, but but once you started getting these friend requests, you ignored them. And then he kept requesting to be your friend again?
Yeah, I didn't really pay attention to Pascal at first. Pascal asked me to be my friends a lot, but each time I just ignored it. I blew it off, but he immediately sent another friend request.
Well, let's pick up the story now, starting when you, Audrey, finally decided to ask Pascal just who he is. We'll go to the story, an excerpt from the story that we did on Monday. Here's that story.
Pascal kept sending me friend requests. This had been going on for about 2 years that he had been trying to contact me. So I sent him a message asking who he was. Meaning I finally, acknowledged he was there. His response was almost immediate. He said, "Oh, haha, I watch you eat." The thing that scared me was me and my friends hang out at a couple specific restaurants, and if he'd watch me eat, then he would literally know where I am and where I went every day after school. I said, "I've never actually met you and you don't have pictures," and he said, "Oh, well, I know where you eat. I mean, of course, we both know you eat at," and he almost left a blank for me to fill in. I wrote him back, "What are you thinking? I'm not going to fill in that blank." I feel like his next messages were kind of an angered or annoyed tone. He would say, "Well, you don't need to. I know anyway." And he would add exclamation points. He was talking to me almost like we were best friends who had just gotten in a fight. After this had been going on for a while, he messaged me that he wanted to meet me somewhere. I messaged back, "No." I didn't actually know what to do. I Facebooked my friend Bella, and I was telling her about Pascal, and Bella told me that you can block Pascal. So I went to the friend request that I currently had from him. I put block, but it put underneath block report. Facebook then asked me if I knew him, and I said no, and they asked me how long I had been talking to him. It stopped it for a while, and then I started getting requests from another person. The new person that friended me, he said, "Oh, I know where you eat every day after school." I figured either all of, the Facebook predators used this line, or it was Pascal under a new alias. About the cyberstalking, it hasn't stopped, and I still get a lot of requests from people who I don't know and a lot of messages that I don't feel comfortable sharing. I thought this was a regular thing and that this happened to everybody, and I asked around, and it feels like I'm the only one. I've had to use that report button a lot. For KGNU and KC Middle School, this is Audrey.
This is Bella, and that was Audrey's story about being cyberstalked by somebody named Pascal.
Well, and so that ended up being a creepier story than we expected. And as background, thanks to Audrey for sharing that story. Carla, what was that like to hear about that happening to one of your students?
Well, it was rather curious. What started as Audrey sharing a simple experience of what she does on the internet, and it was innocent and safe, became rather alarming and dangerous when we realized actually what was happening was she was being a victim of cyberstalking.
And Bella, if I recall, you really did help Audrey out in terms of figuring out some ways to block this guy.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know it was going to be such a big deal that it did come out to be. I thought it was just, you know, kind of like a joke. But then when she started to explain it to me, I realized that it was like a creeper and she needed to do something about it.
In fact, we invited one of the school resource officers to help us with this named Ed Quayle. And he came in and he talked with Audrey about this. It was really fascinating because you had already done the piece, Audrey. And then we got to hear what an officer says in general are the issues with cyberstalking. Did you feel like there was an eerie kind of connection between the two?
Yeah, it was just kind of awkward because I thought it had all blown over. It happened a while ago, and then all of a sudden he started, like, wanting to do this whole thing with it.
Well, then let's listen in to what that conversation was like. And for our listeners, this is a chance to hear from an experienced person's point of view what cyberstalking can mean. Here's Officer Ed Quayle.
What would you think is kind of the difference between cyberbullying and cyberstalking?
Cyberbullying is usually done to intimidate or harass somebody. Cyberstalking might be when somebody has an infatuation with another person and they try to communicate with that person repeatedly in a manner that really makes them feel unsafe, but it's not necessarily done to intimidate them. It's really more done to try to have a relationship that the other person doesn't agree to or doesn't really understand.
If someone, say, is repeatedly trying to get in touch with you or trying to meet up with you, can it be dangerous and can it be in the interest of the police to get into that case?
It can very much. One of the questions I would have for you immediately is, are they trying to track where you are? And is this a person that you know?
If someone was continually over a long period of time trying to contact you and trying to meet you, is that dangerous and is that in the interest of the cops?
Very much so. Frankly, that would alarm me. It is alarming me because one of the most dangerous things you could ever do is to agree to meet with somebody in real life, somebody that you just don't know otherwise. We do have predators on the internet. There are not very many of them out there, but the ones who are out there are very prolific. What they're trying to do is make contact with people, young people, specifically to meet in real life, and it's usually for purposes of sex.
So if it is a very long obsession, per se 3 years, and they have tried multiple different aliases, they have tried meeting with somebody in different ways, they have tried to extract information in different ways, is that dangerous and in the interest of a cop getting involved in the case and trying to stop it?
Very much so, yes. And there are a lot of tools that police have access to identify the individual involved and to basically stop them and to protect you.
That's school resource officer Ed Guhale talking with Audrey about cyberstalking. Now, this is a call-in show. If you have any comments or questions about cyberstalking, give us a call at 303-442-4242.
That number is 303-442-4242.
Now, Audrey, you said that in this case of cyberstalking, which kind of freaked us out hearing about it, for you, it wasn't something that was immediate because you felt that you had actually solved the problem by this time. Your family was actually inquired about to see if you wanted to do an investigation. What was that like?
Well, my parents both knew about this person and they both tried to help me out. My mom changed my settings. But yeah, I was kind of panicking at the time because I thought it was all over. But then he just started to take an interest.
The officer did, and you weren't sure yourself whether or not there might still be some danger there. Did you get a sense that there really had been some danger from this guy named Pascal?
Well, I mean, I didn't really think much of it because I hadn't heard from him in, like, 5 months. And so just the other day, like, when he said that there could still be a danger after, you know, just all this conversation, I kind of got a little more scared.
And Audrey, if I remember, one of the scariest parts was that you might have to tell your parents about this again. And Carla, if I recall, you were really encouraging Audrey to do that.
Yeah, so it was frightening when Officer Quayle talked about how serious this incident was, the cyberstalking. And for Audrey, I think there were so many things going on in your mind, and maybe you'll share some of that, Audrey, but I remember some of it was, what do you say to your parents? How culpable were you? How responsible were you, an innocent little kid at 9 years old, starting a Facebook? But it opened up a door to a very dangerous situation.
Yes, go ahead, Audrey. We were curious. I mean, this was a tough situation because you were trying to figure out, what if your parents said no more Facebook ever, no more internet ever because of this creepy guy, Pascal?
Well, I wasn't worried that my Facebook was going to be taken away. I mean, that was probably one of my minor worries, but it was just that, like, my parents wouldn't remember me telling them about this guy, and so they would think, like, oh, why would you even talk to this person? I mean, what was going through your head? I mean, and so everything just, I thought that they were going to be mad at me and get really, like, protective of me, and that was... Like, it's been 5 months, so I thought, well, you know, I was good enough to deal with it then, so I'm good enough to deal with it now.
And Carla Friedlich, school psychologist for Casey, what was your thought about that?
Well, what was alarming was Audrey thought this was an experience that was typical, that everybody has this experience of cyberstalking. And in doing some research, we find that actually... about 10% of kids under the age of 18 have the experience of cyberstalking. The higher age group is for college-age students between 18 and about 29 years old. But Audrey, maybe you could talk a little bit more. There was another piece to the investigation from Officer Quayle where he said if he were to investigate this, he would have to look into your whole history, which opens up the history of all your friends and everything that has been said. So it's another reminder about how the internet is not a private space.
Well, he told me that if they went through, like, he just wrote a report, so he filed the report, and I'm pretty sure that's where we're left off. It's all kind of confusing, but he said that if there was enough information to go through with the investigation, that he would have to comb all the chats I've ever had with any of my friends. They would have to comb through my friends' stuff. They would have to go through anything on Facebook that they think that this guy could contact me through. And when he was talking to me, he said, he was explaining it to me, and like my face was just kind of like, oh my gosh, I don't want this to happen. And he said, yeah, well, that would be like a huge invasion of privacy, so we're going to try to steer clear of that, but make sure that you're safe at the same time.
He decided, I've gathered, that you are safe because it isn't still happening, and you know that you're never to meet anybody who's a stranger in the way that this Pascal was kind of encouraging you to meet.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that when I was talking to Pascal. I mean, so many people everywhere, I mean, since we were children, we've learned, like, don't talk to strangers, and so, of course, like, I'm not going to meet this guy, but when somebody's like continually trying to talk to you, you just want to be like, who are you? Do I know you? Is it important? Like,
and that's interesting because everybody's taught never talk to strangers, but on the internet, you were talking to this stranger.
Well, the only reason I did like ask who he was is because he was sending me these messages like urgently for like, I don't know, it was going on for a while, so I thought maybe it was somebody who I knew, and this was, like, some urgent matter that, like, maybe, because I know some people who don't like to have real Facebook names on Facebook, so I thought it was somebody who I knew, maybe, but I tried to figure out.
Carla Friedley, your school psychologist, is nodding her head and looking concerned. What is your thought?
Well, in doing some research, we find that you mention him as Pascal, so all of a sudden he feels sort of like a familiar figure. You have a name for him, and that is a classic tactic of cyberstalkers, is they come into your life and they talk about things that are of your interest, which is easy to find out because you post them on your Facebook. Were you at the volleyball game? How did the Broncos do? And then he engages in that conversation, and it allows you to let your guard down. Before you know it, you're giving private information, and he sought further to find, to meet you after school or to find out more about you?
Well, it never went that far. After I asked who he was and he said he was, like, watching me eat and he started being creepy, I unfriended him again, which, of course, it came back almost immediately, his friend request. It was like he was waiting for me.
Yes, and so he was still trying to manipulate you, and fortunately, between you and your friends, you figured out a way to stop him by blocking him and reporting him, and then he showed up in another guise. It was a creepy story, and I'm glad to know more about this myself, just because I didn't realize there is such a thing as cyberstalking, and it would hit people that we know. Now, we do have a caller on the line. Let's go ahead and ask Ruby, a middle school student, what her question or comment is. Hey, Ruby. Just a second here. Now we can hear you. Go ahead and say that again.
Audrey, what was the scariest part about the cyber stalker?
Well, the scariest part was probably that, I found out he was here. When I thought about what his picture was, it was around October, and it was of the, like, Fright Fest on Pearl Street. So when I found out he was here, and...
You mean in Boulder?
In Boulder. And he knew where I was, because I wasn't all secure on my Facebook profile. It kind of freaked me out. That was probably the scariest part.
Thank you for that question, Ruby. And Audrey, I'm curious, did this experience change how you use the internet?
Oh, totally. Everything on my Facebook is, like, completely secure, and nobody can see it unless they're my friend. And with Officer Ed Quayle, I went through all my friends, made sure I knew them all, and I did, so.
So an additional piece of information is that, sadly, 25% of stalkers are known to their victims. You might not know it at the time. So when you mentioned that Pascal happened to be somebody locally, it opened up that idea. Is this somebody that knows you? So oftentimes we think of cyber stalkers as somebody, you know, in the dark shadows that we don't know. But that doesn't turn out to be the case.
It's somebody who wants their identity to be kind of hidden, but their intent may not be the best.
Well, one thing I found is that, like, one of the red flags was he didn't have any pictures of one person. He had pictures of other people and pictures of cartoons, but it wasn't him. So I wasn't sure if this was somebody who just wasn't allowed to have a real name on Facebook and was just, like, trying to get in touch with me through a way he thought I would know, or if he was somebody who was...
And so it changed how you use the internet. How about you, Ella? Did this the hearing about this story affect how you use the internet?
Yeah. Even just hearing the story made me want to delete my Facebook. And I don't even have pictures of myself on it. But I was still really creeped out by it.
Well, it's 8:58. You're tuned to KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM. This is a call-in show. It's about middle school students and the internet, the benefits and the potential dangers. I'm Shelley Schlender, and we're talking about one of the dangers, cyberstalking. But now let's switch to another kind of danger, which is cyberbullying. If you were listening to KGNU yesterday morning, you may have heard Haley's account of what it was like last year to be cyberbullied. The cyberbullying eventually got so intense, Haley left the school that she had attended for years and enrolled at Casey. Haley, you say that it all began innocently enough with your younger sisters hacking into your Facebook account and accidentally changing your relationship status.
Yes.
Well, that seems pretty innocent, but things went from bad to worse.
Yes, it did, because my friends started to think that I changed it just to grasp their attention, because obviously there was no one who I was in a relationship with. And so they thought that I was trying to get their attention and accuse me of lying.
Now, you've told this story. I've heard you tell it in many different situations. You can tell it very matter-of-factly, but for this interchange, you actually sat back into the moment and remembered what it was like. Is it still painful to think back to that time?
Yeah, it is, and it was definitely still painful to think of all the stuff that I left behind when I left that school.
Okay, well, let's pick up the story that you told about how after your friends decided to team up on attacking you through text messages, what happened. So let's just go to the story now.
So Monday afternoon, I started getting a text from a friend's phone, and it basically was saying,
No one believes that you're going out. You're making this whole thing up. No one likes you. No one believes you. Just a bunch of really, really mean stuff. And at first I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I just had gotten home from school on Monday. No one had discussed it with me Monday during the day. And then Monday afternoon, these texts started coming to me. All day it had been building, and I really had no clue what was going on. Then when I got home and I had started working on my homework, my heart really started to beat faster, like I could feel it. And then I started to like get all a little sweaty and really irritated, and I didn't like was so focused on what they had just said to me that I didn't know what to do. It was almost like everything had just stopped. It was like, wow, I thought you were my friends, and I thought I had clarified this with you, and no one seemed to understand, and I was like, did they not understand when I texted them? After I read the first one, I was like, they probably just don't understand, let me clarify this, and I was starting to type, and then all of these ones just start coming at me, all in a row. My phone actually vibrates. I like to keep it on vibrate, and so I just kept hearing the vibration, just kept coming and coming, and I almost like felt it, like when I was holding my phone, like I felt it like coming through me, like zzz, zzz. Now remembering is there was an activity night at school that afternoon. A lot of kids were together at the activities night. They were texting on one person's phone, but they were probably all standing in a group texting and being like, say this, say this, say this. So it was coming from one person's phone, but multiple people were involved. I was really hoping that they would forget the whole thing, or the whole thing would just go away. That's all I really, really wanted to happen, is for this thing to just go away. But when I went to school, they were all in a huddle around someone's phone and whispering as I walked by. My heart sort of sank. I was like, oh no. Some of these kids who were at the school with me, I'd known since kindergarten. And that morning, they're all in a circle and all looking at me and all whispering and all huddled around someone's phone. And I'm like, wow.
That's part of the story that Haley shared about what it was like to be cyberbullied last year. And Bella, do you want to, we can have people go someplace for the full story is what we can do. But you were a friend of Haley's during this, and this was a hard experience for her to go through. What do you say about that?
It was definitely a hard experience for her to go through, and I mean, I didn't know her at the time, but when she told me about it, she's like one of the sweetest people I know. I just don't understand why somebody could do that to somebody else.
And yet bullying's been around forever. Everybody has had a time in their life probably where they've been bullied at least once or been a bully. And Carla Friedley, how about it? How is it changing now that there is an internet? Is bullying still bullying?
Yeah, well, bullying is essentially doing something mean to harm or threaten somebody. And the two biggest targets of bullying are the way people look or their sexual orientation. Cyberbullying is a little different. It could be sending mean messages, spreading rumors, posting hurtful messages, spreading unflattering photos, and sexting. What makes cyberbullying so difficult is in traditional bullying, once one leaves school or the workplace, it's kind of over. You have your safe place at home. In cyberbullying, it exists everywhere you go. It's on your text. It's on your phone. It's everywhere.
Everywhere. Now, Ella, you had a comment here?
Oh, yes. Remember, this is a call-in show. If you'd like to comment or have a question about cyberbullying, dial 303-442-4242.
Now, I'm still puzzled, Haley, by something that happened to you last year, because it's not clear to me how the bullying was responded to. And Carla, can you give some context for what to do about a bullier who is enjoying being a bully?
Well, first, the person who is being bullied should never ignore the bullying. Find somebody who's your ally, find an adult who's going to listen, and don't stop until somebody listens, because a bully on their own often gets continually targeted. And that might have been the case for Haley, that she didn't feel as well supported by the adults in her community, except for at home.
How about it, Haley? Was that the experience that you had? Was cyberbullying such a new experience at your school? Did they handle it in a supportive way, do you feel?
I feel like there were some aspects of it that they definitely handled in a supportive way, but also since it doesn't happen as often, or it's so new with all the new technology, that they weren't really sure as to how to go about it.
I'm curious about, you know, if I was, I'm imagining myself as the parent of a person being bullied, or the parent of someone who I'm told is bullying. Were the parents involved in the discussions, and did they have a say in terms of saying whether this was okay or not to have this kind of hurtful language being shared on the internet about you?
My parents were involved, but none of the parents of the kids who were actually doing the bullying actually got involved.
None of the parents of the people, were they just never informed that it was happening?
I think that they probably had no clue what was going on. Their kids probably didn't share anything with them. And they, when my mom contacted them, they had no clue what was going on.
Oh, okay. So your mom contacted them. Did the school contact the bulliers and the parents of the bulliers and say, we think we need to have some more conversation around this issue?
They brought me and the bulliers into the counselor's office, but they did not bring in the parents and have a sit-down meeting with them.
Carla Friedley, can you respond to your thinking about bullying in some ways that the whole community might be able to be part of what's happening?
Right. Well, oftentimes I think people are engage in bullying and there's no intent to harm somebody. And the story that Haley shared, it was real striking. There was a group of people, and sadly, there are some bullies that bully for fun. And in our culture, we value power, and we often highlight people who do bully or who act out. We admire people who win at all costs. So it's quite possible that the students who were so unkind to Haley were mean in doing this in order to increase their own popularity, maybe to increase their own position of power in that school setting.
So it can be a power thing, which means it can be fun. You mean that sometimes a bullier knows they're being mean and they're enjoying seeing somebody get hurt?
Sadly, yes. I think for the most part, most people don't mean to hurt people. But there's a small group of people who enjoy the power over other people. And in this case, because it was such a large group, probably what happened was there was a fringe group of people who saw what was happening to Haley and certainly did not want to be the one experiencing that bully. So they participated as a way to protect themselves and used Haley as the target.
Hmm. You know, before we go on about what it's like when people really enjoy being bullies, let's hear the interview that Bella did. Bella, you interviewed your principal, Allison Boggs. And tell me why you were curious to ask her what happens with bullying.
I was curious to ask her what happened when bullying because I figured since Casey is kind of like a community, that it would be much different than what they did at Haley's old school. But
well, let's see then. Let's see. Let's go ahead and play your interview that you did with your principal, Ms. Boggs.
What would be an example of cyberbullying?
Posting something on Facebook about someone that's, you know, where you say something about their private life, or you say call them names, or you people have conversations back and forth that are mean and saying bad things about a person. Texting and sending mean messages and threats would be another example.
Has it ever happened in this school?
Yes, it's happened at Casey, and in those instances we've been really lucky that kids have brought us copies of the information, and we've been able to work with kids. And cyberbullying is kind of interesting because when you do it, the students who do it feel bad about it, and they have natural consequences of their friends being mad at them, and kind of they stir up trouble for themselves. By the time they hit send, they already feel sorry. It feels like one of those really terrible accidents where you break something you really care about. They don't think before they hit send, and they hit send, and then they immediately want to fix it. And some have even tried to fix it by getting ahead of it, by saying, I sent this and I'm sorry about it, but the damage is kind of done once it's out there.
What would you do in a case of cyberbullying?
As principal, I do have legal ability to act on things that happen off campus if they affect the school. With all types of harassment and bullying, the first step is education. I think, like I said, kids feel regret, and if they don't feel regret, they do soon after you talk with them about the consequences for the other student. So once you bring that to their attention, they start to feel bad. the first step is always helping kids understand the ramifications of what they've done and how it affects other people. And when there's insight there, it really does go a long way towards fixing the issue. We haven't had a lot of incidences, and I think that's because we usually take a real educational stand right away. I don't think we've had any repeaters.
How are cyberbullies dealt with?
Well, first of all, educating them, and then some type of school consequence. Usually it's related to restorative justice, where they have to face what they've done, and their parents come in, and we all have a big conversation about it. In some cases where there's been a real tremendous amount of harm, we've had to pull kids out of class for a while.
Anything else you'd like to say or add about cyberbullying?
Well, I think it's great you're doing this article because I think kids hit send before they think, and they really regret it immediately. The internet is a very powerful way to communicate. It's like having a big loudspeaker. It's not like spoken words where you say it and it goes away. So it's a powerful type of communication, the internet, that maybe is a little too powerful sometimes for some people as they're growing up. You know, when you make a mistake as a kid, it's great if it doesn't linger and stay around. A lot of mistakes, you know, you can deal with them, but these kind of mistakes linger and cause damage to other people.
That's Principal Allison Boggs from Casey Middle School talking about how that school deals with cyberbullying. And Bella, thank you for getting that report from Ms. Boggs. Haley, as somebody who was cyberbullied last year at a different school, is there some difference or similarity to how bullying is being talked about at Casey versus what you encountered last year?
Yes, it seems like there's a very big difference, and it seems like at Casey that they're really willing to get involved, even if it's just a small act. Unlike at my other school where they told me that there really was nothing that they could really get anyone in trouble for on my phone.
And in trouble, I don't know if that means going and talking with somebody or talking with the parents, or was it more of a hands-off attitude somewhat?
Yes, it was. It was sort of, they sort of just told me that they couldn't really find anything to get anyone in trouble for, which if they were to quote-unquote get in trouble, they would go and talk, they would talk to their parents, and they would find a fair punishment for their actions and what they had done. Because they were at a school event, it became even more of a prevalent problem.
And so there was talk, but nothing ever actually happened?
Yeah, they didn't follow through with what they said they were going to follow through, and I think they were a little unprepared to deal with the situation. And so there really was nothing more that they did.
You know, I think cyberbullying is a new thing. It's something that's being talked about in a lot of districts, because who would have guessed that sticks and stones on the internet could be so powerful as opposed to words on the, you know, or hitting somebody. Carla Friedley, how about it?
Well, I think you're exactly right that sticks and stones definitely do cause quite a bit of harm. And again, it's not just that you have to hear something mean directed at you, but everybody else hears it too. And for that reason, it becomes such a social problem. And you're right, in the schools as well, I think what we realize is because all students have cell phones and or many of them have Facebook, that when kids come to school, they need to be ready to learn. And if all night long you're hearing messages that are making you feel bad, you don't come to school ready to learn. And that's why as a community at Casey, we take those things very seriously. And so we do bring in what happens at home. And it's sometimes confusing to kids. They say, well, that happened at home. It has nothing to do with school. Well, in fact, it does. Everything we do in the community brings us more present to the ability to learn.
Now, you also had described that there's a difference between dealing with a cyber bully or any kind of bully when they are remorseful, and the way that Ms. Boggs, your principal, says that many students are remorseful and saying, oh my gosh, I didn't really mean to do that, versus somebody who is enjoying the power. That when somebody's enjoying the power, is it okay to have that person go up and say, gee, I'm sorry, I won't do it anymore, I didn't mean to hurt you? Is that enough?
Well, in fact, that could be even more harmful to the victim. So restorative justice, what that takes into account is that the person who's the offender, who causes harm to another person, that they are remorseful and that they do want to repair the harm that was caused to that person. So saying sorry doesn't seem to have the power that it once did. And so we want to see people be able to repair the harm. So simply apologizing actually can put the
victim, if it's a bully who enjoys the power over that person, can put that victim in even more harm and at risk for retaliation. So restorative justice is for those unique situations when the offender really does feel sorry about what has happened.
Well, Audrey, you have a question for your school psychologist, Carla Friedley. What's your question?
I was wondering, how are cyberbullying and cyberstalking alike, and can one happen within the other, and which is more likely?
Well, that's a really good question. I think they're similar in that they both cause harm. I mean, you were fearful after, you know, we investigated this, and it became... it just felt that much more serious. All of a sudden, you felt like your safety was being compromised. So in that way, I think that they're similar. Cyberstalking is obviously a new behavior, but it's taking on different forms. And I think in your situation, it almost felt like maybe somebody had real ill intent towards you and your person as a young girl, maybe misusing you as a young girl. Cyberstalking more and more is happening, things like identity theft and getting into people's information and changing personal profiles. So they are fundamentally different in some ways.
Now, for a lot of our listeners, these are somewhat new issues because they may not be Facebook users as much as you all are, and they may not use the internet as much. I'm curious, Ella, you surveyed a lot of the students at KC to see what they understood. What was your curiosity when you interviewed them and asked them questions about bullying on the internet?
Well, I was wondering, we heard what Allison Boggs, our principal, had to say, but I was wondering what the kids were going to say and what they thought cyberbullying was.
Well, let's listen in and see what they told you.
So, like, if you're being mean online, when is it cyberbullying, not just being mean?
Bad words or, like, you're saying bad things about them.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
When does it get to the point where someone online is cyberbullying someone else?
When they're telling them they're ugly, fat, or they shouldn't belong on this earth.
Thank you.
When it hurts someone, and when it spreads something around that's not true about someone, or that is true, but that's something private that that person was not given permission to tell.
When is being mean online considered cyberbullying?
When, like, somebody says something mean to somebody else and it goes, like, all over the internet.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
When you're mean?
The second you start being mean.
Okay. Okay, how about you?
Wait, no!
I have the same answer. I just say when you're being mean.
Okay. That's cyberbullying?
When you act as somebody that's not yourself,
and post evil
and
things.
That's like
false identity. Identity theft.
Are you recording this?
Yeah, we're recording this.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. It's when you like post stuff online that's not nice to other people and like makes other people feel bad and not good about themselves. Like, and it can be really embarrassing,
like
too.
That movie Cyberbullying, when that lady gets like the like troubled superstar gets like so upset and she like tries to suffocate herself with sleeping pills inside a bag, but her friend who actually
was got the movie so wrong.
Posting as herself saved her life after she like ruined it. I'm gonna zap you.
We're not waiting for him.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Well, there are some comments from KC Middle School students about cyberbullying and other cyber issues. Ella, what do you think? Are people pretty aware of what this means?
Yeah, it seems like they were. They kind of had a good idea that, you know, cyberbullying is something where you're being mean or saying hurtful things, and they seem to understand that.
Well, I'm curious. We've been talking a lot about problems with the internet, and there are concerns these days about how people of the internet generation are using it an awfully lot, and that it doesn't include things like facial cues and the tone of somebody's voice. And so maybe as part of using the internet, there's a lack of empathy as part of it. What do you think about that, Ella?
Yeah, even when my friends are texting me or I'm texting them, there's, you know, sarcasm and things that you can't detect through texting or chatting or emailing. And I think that plays a decent role in
kids getting their feelings hurt and going to school being like, why do you say that? And then the other friend is like, I didn't say that that way. And there's just some confusion.
Well, how about it? You've mentioned that you're not somebody who's as much of a fan of communicating through the internet yourself.
Yeah. I text partly just because my friends text me. I don't necessarily go out and try to contact them as much as they do to me. And I use Gmail and things for, like, chatting and emailing, but I don't really use my Facebook very often or use the internet for much else besides school.
Well, Bella, how about you? What would you do if there wasn't an internet?
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, I would probably be a little sad, but, you know, I'd get over it.
You get over it. Well, how about this? Let me ask it another way. Is it beneficial, despite all of these issues that can come up? Is it something that is more good than bad? Is it something that helps you get more done, or does it make you be addicted to it? Where's the balance there?
It depends on what you use it for. If you use it for school, it's definitely beneficial, but, I mean, sometimes this happens to me. If, like, you say you have a research project like we have coming up and you're trying to get it done on Google Docs, so you're on your Gmail, and then your friends start chatting you on Gmail, it gets a little bit distracting. And then if you want to, like, just check your Facebook real quick, it's never usually really quick.
Has it ever gotten in the way of homework for any of you? Ella, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll be, like Bella was saying, on Gmail or Google Docs or something, trying to get homework done, and my friends will, like, chat me or I'll chat them, and you get into this conversation, and it's like when you go after school to do homework with a friend and you end up getting nothing done because you're just talking to them the whole time.
Carla Friedley, school psychologist, do you want to have a comment here, or shall we just go keep hearing from the students?
Well, I think we're sitting with some top students, and they are really sharing the experience of that many other students have. They go home with the best of intentions to do their homework, and they come to school the next day realizing that they Facebooked their evening away. So I'd like to hear more from the girls.
Yes, Audrey, go ahead.
So my Facebook is my homepage. So what I'll do is I'll need to get on to go to Google, and it'll pop up on my Facebook, and I'll see all these, like, new things, and you want to check them and stuff. And then you'll see that your friends are online. And when they just start talking, you just want to talk back. And sometimes it'll be easy, like you can go on a website and read information and then see and just switch tabs.
But I hear you saying that it's always there waiting for you every time you touch the internet. And how about you, Haley? What's it like for you?
I remember Audrey saying this quote that Facebook is like a fridge. You know what's in there, but you still go back every 15 minutes to check it. And so in a way, I feel like even though I'll be sitting doing my homework, I'll suddenly lose focus or I'll get stuck on a math problem, and then I'll decide, oh, you know what, I'll check Facebook for a little bit, maybe refresh my memory, and then before I know it, 45 minutes have gone by and I've been on Facebook.
We've been talking about how it is for you all. How is it in terms of your parents? Because we've talked about some issues where parents had to get involved in helping you out with cyberbullying and cyberstalking. Do you feel like they help moderate your use of the computer in a sensible way, or are they having troubles with moderating their use? Go ahead. Let's start with you, Bella.
My mom is addicted to Facebook. She's worse than I am, and I'm just going to say that, like, as it is. She's always on her phone checking Facebook or on the computer. She's the same way I am if you're like, I have to get this schedule done, because she works in a restaurant, so she has to, like, write the schedules. I'm going to get this schedule done in, like, 15 minutes. 15 minutes later, I go in to make sure she's, like, doing her work on Facebook.
So it's not just you all. Audrey?
Yes.
So I kind of have a similar situation with Bella, because my dad owns a restaurant, too. It's just almost the exact opposite. He had to get a Facebook to promote his restaurant, so he'll be, like, up, like, making schedules or doing payroll and stuff, but he only uses his Facebook, like, to promote his restaurant. I mean, he has one
page for likes, but he has one page for himself.
And so for some people, it's something that's very useful and only used for useful things. And other people, it's there like the refrigerator constantly being checked. I'm wondering about one other thing, and that's that two of you here have described situations on the internet where it was helpful to have your parents be on your side and intervene. And in your case, Audrey, it sounds like you spoke with them very quickly. In your case, Haley, with cyberbullying, you spoke with your parents very quickly about what was happening. Audrey, in your case, you kind of kept it to yourself and worked it out with your friends first. How do you all navigate that, and what makes it more likely that you'll talk with parents about what's going on?
Well, it's not that I kept it from my parents. I told my parents, but I just told them that it wasn't anything to worry about and that I was dealing with it. And then
you were worried about it, though.
Well, I mean, it wasn't that like huge of a thing, but yeah,
it worried the officer, the police officer, when he heard
about
it.
Well, it worried me last week, but it didn't really worry me at the time because I knew I'll just go away. But I talked to Bella, and I didn't even know, like, you seriously, the smallest print says you can report this person underneath the block thing, like.
And so you used your friendships to help protect each other and to find the skills to deal with solving the problem of getting a stalker off your back.
Yeah, but, I mean, my parents were in it. Like, my mom, she changed my Facebook settings. I had to tell her my password to go on Facebook and stuff.
So how do you all decide how much to tell your parents about these things and how much not to? What can parents who are listening know about how they can interact with you around this new tool called the internet that you probably know more about than they do? Bella, let's have you start this.
Well, for any of you parents out there, don't get too involved to where you're annoying your children, because that's, like, not okay, but, I mean,
If parents freak out too much, you're not going to tell them very much.
Yeah, I mean, like, if your parents are overly protective and won't let you, like, do certain things that are, like, I don't want to say this, like, it's a good thing, but, like, if all your friends are going to a movie and your parents are like, no, I want you to stay home, you have to do this with me and, like, all that stuff, then I don't think they're going to tell you very much. But, I mean, if you give them just a little bit of, like, freedom, I think that they're going to tell you more and explain to you what's going on in their personal life.
Carla Friedley, you're shaking your head yes. As the school psychologist, what do you have to say about this as someone of a parent's generation?
Well, I'm hearing what Bella has to say, and I think she's right. Parents need to use judgment about how their kids are. Parents need to educate their kids about how to do safety settings on the internet, or the kids need to maybe educate the parents about how to do the safety settings and make sure that it's happening. Parents can be your best allies in this situation, and they have your best interest at heart. So I think for some of us of this generation, the parent generation, it is difficult to be aware of all the ways young people can communicate and the risks involved. But keep open communication with your kids, and you should be okay.
So don't be too snoopy. Don't hack into your children's sites, even if that's tempting to do. You've got to build trust to have them trust you. Audrey, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that one of the things is that my mom pushes to know all my passwords, and I've, like, had to change passwords a few times, and, I mean, it just, when you get to the point where you're, like, it's almost like I think that she might go on my Facebook, so it's, like, I know that she has her own, but I just feel like if you're too snoopy, it'll drive kids away.
And yet, Haley, in your case, when there was so much bullying happening, there were a number of people who said, we need to see what's on your Facebook page for your sake, because we need to help protect you from the onslaught of this bullying.
Yes, so the school definitely wanted to see, and my parents definitely wanted to see what was on my Facebook page and what was on my phone so that they could understand what was going on.
That must have been somewhat violating, but at the same time, it was like, boy, you know, right now, this is okay.
Yes.
So there's a lot of fine lines with all of this. Maybe that's the moral of this, is that there's a lot of gray area when it comes to the internet, and you all have to help us navigate it. What's the first thing you're going to do when you go back on the internet today, Ella?
I will probably be working on schoolwork with our research project and everything like that.
And how about you, Haley? What are you going to do?
I'll probably do the same thing as Audrey, but I can't say that I'm going to be able to, I mean, Ella, but I can't say that I'll be able to give up my little fun that I like to have on Facebook every once in a while.
Well, thank you all for joining us today. This has been a call-in show with middle school students Ella, Audrey, Bella, Haley, and school psychologist Carla Friedley. Thanks also to journalism teacher Lee Lazar for making all of this possible. I'm Shelley Schlender. It's 9:30. This concludes the morning call-in show, and now we're going to go to music.